We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here again. Jim Galante jumps on with us now for this edition of Take a Stand. He's going to throw out three different Penn State and Penn State related issues. I'm curious to see what it's all about. And Greg and I will take probably opposing positions, and Jim's going to figure out how to get Greg a win in this. So that's how it's been going so far. That's how it'll go again, I'm sure. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, also from GoPSURV.com, where they're going all out for the first game of the year against Appalachian State. Half-price RVs for that weekend. Check out more at GoPSURV.com. Also an open house Friday evening, Saturday morning, with some 409 Tailgate Club barbecue, some tailgate wine, and some Labatt Blue beer. GoPSURV.com.
All right, you've got the game figured out already, Dusty, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I know.
All right. This week, we're doing a special CBS Sports.
I love it. Great. Overrated, edition. Underrated.
You got it.
All right.
But the difference is, here at Keystone Sports, we don't go anonymous. You take a stand, you put your name on your opinion. So let's start with the obvious one, the overrated. Gentlemen, we'll start with Greg. Who is your most overrated coach, not only nationally in college football, but let's also get a Big Ten coach in there, too.
Well, that's interesting. I'll start with the Big Ten, I guess, and maybe it's too early to go this direction because he's only been there for, a couple of years. But there was a whole heck of a lot of hype surrounding PJ Fleck. And I know the easy one here is Jim Harbaugh, and that's fine, but I'm going to go a different direction because you hear row the boat, and all this stuff. And there was a whole heck of a lot of hype when PJ Fleck got to Minnesota. And, you know, you look back, they were 5-7 overall, 2-7 last year. I get that it was his first year there, that he didn't have a bunch of players in there that he wanted. But you just looked at that team, and, man, I just am not sure that the buzz that surrounded him when he got there is going to live up to the hype that most thought it would, especially on the Big Ten West side now that has some rock star coaches and things going on over there. So, for me, I'm going to leave you the easy picking, Dustin. I'm going to go with PJ Fleck from Minnesota. Overrated, not necessarily because of – it's not fair to judge his 1 year there and say that is why he's overrated. Overrated in my book because he was looked as a savior for that Minnesota program and the guy that could finally turn it around, row the boat, and all that stuff. They put out, I've never seen a program in my life put out a social media story that was proud of the fact that they have not one quarterback on the roster who has actually thrown a pass in a game. And they're the only team in the country, I'll have you know, that is not, that has a, does not have a quarterback on the roster with a game pass. They're all three of freshmen, true freshmen, so, or redshirt freshmen. So, PJ Fleck's my vote. He's out at Minnesota within 2 years, gone. TJ Durkin would be a close second for me, but he is going to get fired, so it's not fair to do that.
Greg's on fire today. He's hot. He's hot. So, yeah, Jim Harbaugh, I think, is the obvious and the easy one. I'm going to also bypass that choice. He has credentials, and he's got the name, and he's got the national narrative and blah, blah, blah. But you know somebody who I think is – really, and I love Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern. I do.
I should have known you were going to go there.
I think that when it comes to being judged on a national level, he's judged differently from every other quote unquote elite coach. He's judged on a different scale. Northwestern has academic rigors and they've got issues to deal with on that front. And it's kind of, you know, it's James Franklin at Vanderbilt in the SEC is comparable to Pat Fitzgerald in the Big Ten with Northwestern just because of the way that they're working on with academics. But Pat Fitzgerald has,
gets more passes than that guy.
He gets a lot of passes. And until Northwestern gets to the point where they cannot be that Jekyll and Hyde persona, if they can string together 12 really good games instead of like 6 or 7, then we're talking. And I think 10-3 last year was great. He had a couple 5-7 seasons in 2013 and 2014. Three double-digit wins. They've all come in the last 6 years. But for Northwestern to really get – for him to get as much love and deserve as much love, they need to do better than they've been doing. And I think just bad losses are part of that. And can Northwestern beat all the teams that they need to beat? And so I just don't have a lot of confidence going into any year that they're going to be able to do that. And I'm trying to dig up who they lost to last year. At Duke, 41-17, week two. You got to avoid that. If you're one of the best coaches in the country, I don't think you get beat by Duke 41-17.
All right. How about real quick, a national name? That was Big Ten, each of you. How about a national one?
Nationally overrated. Well, Jim Harbaugh is in that conversation.
Yeah, if you want to stay with that.
I think it's because Michigan hasn't been a national brand under him. So are they a quarterback away? They might be. Shea Patterson, there's a lot riding on the 2018 season in Shea Patterson for Jim Harbaugh to get out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to go with Jim Harbaugh, because I think that's, like I said, the Big Ten, it would have made perfect sense to go with him. I'm going to go with, you know what, I'm looking at this CBS list just to pull it up out of curiosity, and Lovie Smith made the list, and I just don't understand.
As overrated?
But who's rating him?
Who's got any expectations at all?
Everyone just, outside of name alone, I don't understand why he would even make this list. I mean, I'm going to go with Brian Kelly. He's had some really good teams at Notre Dame, never really got to the final finish line that he's wanted to. He's recruited pretty well, but he always seemed to have one. He or his team tend to have one big, mishap seemingly every year that cost him a shot at something more. I'll go with Brian Kelly.
By going with Brian Kelly, that gets the point.
You spoke Jimmy's language.
That's right.
I'll tell you one other name.
Know your host, Dustin.
In the Big Ten, this is a name I don't think many would say, but do you think Scott Frost is a little over? He had the fantastic year. I get it. But everyone's ready to say Nebraska is back. How about he win a couple games before they say that?
See, I don't know. I mean, are people really
overrated?
I think, are people really expecting Nebraska to be great this year? I think people are excited about the possibility of Nebraska. And you know, Nebraska is such a traditional power in football, and they love their football so much out there that they've been hurting a little bit. And the other part of it is that the Big Ten, you know, the future of the balance between the East and the West kind of rides on Nebraska being really good again. So a lot of people have hope that Scott Frost can bring balance to the force, so to speak.
Like, that's what makes this overrated conversation so bizarre. It's like, how do you define overrated? What is your criteria for it? Is it you're getting a lot of hype but haven't produced? Is it you've recruited really well but your team hasn't won enough? Like, what is your...
Your reputation precedes you.
Right.
And it can be any of the above. And I think that's, for some reason, James Franklin has a certain reputation in certain parts of the country that precedes him.
Yeah.
And the first impression that he left with people talking about, you know, coaches' wives and being brash down in the SEC and being brash when he got to Penn State, that's an impression with some of his coaching peers that's going to stick with him forever. It doesn't matter if he's changed or evolved.
Okay, some good points, Dusty, but you still won't. The point. All right, let's go to the other side. Let's go underrated, Big Ten and nationally. Dusty, you get the floor first.
Let's see. Well, it's hard to say Mark D'Antonio is underrated, but it's still underappreciated. Paul Chris is the guy that I would go with in this conversation, though, because, you know, there's a lot of people, and I fall prey to this sometimes too, where you just don't have enough respect for Wisconsin. And I think there's no program that's better aligned with what they're looking for from a recruiting standpoint and the product they put on the field. They know what they want to do. They get the guys they want to get. They're not really going to be in that top 10 recruiting conversation. It's hard to be that way when you're locked away up in Wisconsin. They get guys who fit what they're looking for. They develop them to do what they're asked to do, and then they do what they do really well. I think there's always going to be, they got to take the next step. They got to stop preying on a weak West division and get into that national playoff conversation. But the fact that they've been so dominant in the West, the fact that they've played in so many really good bowl games and won a bunch of games, it speaks to Paul Chryst and the stability there. So I think it might be boring sometimes, and I think it's boring sometimes, but they win football games.
Yeah, fair points, all. I can never get past the roadblock with him that his team gets to the point where they have to play another actually good team and they typically don't win. That's the one thing that bothers me.
They're not as fast or as athletic as anybody.
Yeah, but at some point, if you're going to beat up, I mean, it's just, you're right. And that's what goes back to our five-star recruit conversation where, okay, great, you have your system players, but just like Michigan State, your system players might not be good enough to beat the other team's really good players. So it's a fair point on Chris, though. I'm going to stay in the Big Ten West as well. I'm going to go with Jeff Brohm. He comes into Purdue, actually makes them exciting again. It helps that he had a pretty good quarterback there. But that Purdue program was just horrendous.
Yeah.
And
hopeless.
Yeah. And then he comes in there, and all of a sudden, a high-profile offense, no different than how Joe Moorhead helped turn around Penn State. Obviously, he wasn't the head coach, so he doesn't get all the credit, of course. But Jeff Brohm comes in there, and not to say that Purdue's going to suddenly turn into a powerhouse, but they're putting some money into their football program. They're getting some donations that they haven't in the past. 7-6 feels like about a miracle at Purdue. I go with Jeff Brohm.
All right. How about real quick nationally?
Nationally, that's a tough question because there's so many guys that could make that list. I mean, to me, again, it depends how you define underrated. You look across the college football spectrum, there's a lot of good coaches out there that don't get their due. I'm going to pick a guy whose name I can't pronounce, the head coach at Navy, Ken Niumatalolo. It was about not as bad. Good as I'm going to get. That guy put some darn competitive teams on the field to challenge FBS programs year in and year out.
David Shaw at Stanford, Chris Peterson at Washington, both those guys. They're on the West Coast. They don't get a lot of that East Coast love. But, you know, Stanford, their results speak for themselves. I think Peterson, his Washington team, will be in that college football playoff conversation more years than not.
Dusty, you had D'Antonio and Paul Chris, two names I had written down. By the way, nationally, I think Bill Snyder. Kansas State to win there.
It's because he's 100.
Yeah.
And I think that's why.
Yeah, I think Bill Snyder would be. I'd put him in the overrated one before I put him in the
underrated. Take his first point
one.
Away from him.
Yeah.
Take his first point away
I would.
It's 2-0 me. It's 2-0 me.
Disagreeing with me doesn't help your cause. Dusty gets the point.
All right.
All right. Last question. We're going to go much different conversation here. You have Ricky Ronnie's ear for the evening. What advice changes you would recommend to the offense? What advice would you give Ricky Ronnie? Greg, you go first.
I guess we have to be rapid fire here. By the way, Bill Snyder hasn't won a head coach award of any kind since 2011. He's past his prime. He's overrated.
You just lost your point.
For one thing with Ricky Ronnie, I think it's the one thing that you hear Penn State fans talk about most, and it's that how can you get a way of getting the push up front without going under center, without using a fullback. It is not ever going to happen. This Penn State, as long as James Franklin and is here, it's not going to happen. So the question is, what can you do differently that you didn't do last year to get that push that the under center and the fullback would give you? To me, I think it's just having a better offensive line. They have it this year, but that would be the one thing I'd be curious to know most about. As for changes, nothing really comes to mind. Minus, what can you do better in the last four minutes of a game to salt it away rather than maybe give the team the ball back?
Stretch the field. Push the ball down the field. It happened in 2016. Penn State's personnel didn't really support it as much last year. I think you've got some guys who can stretch the field. It does all kinds of things for your offense. You're going to force opposing defenses to defend every square yard of that field. I think creates some more big plays in the passing game.
Dusty with the point and the
wins.
Upset.
Boom.
But he got 3 points for the first answer, so there you go. All right. Well, hey, I think that's my first win here on Take a Stand. I will take it. You can join us. This is on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com to hear previous episodes of Take a Stand. All kinds of stuff there, and download the Keystone Sports app. We'll see you next time.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.